Let's stand in honor of God's good word. Look down with me at verse number 11 of Luke 17. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Look at the first two words of verse 15. That's my title this morning. And one. Father, bless us today as you already have. And Lord, I stand in such awe of your presence, your blessing, because Lord, none of us are deserving of you gracing us like you have. Collectively, we're not deserving of it. But you've come today and you've helped us already. And may it just continue. May you speak to our hearts through your word now and the message. And may it accomplish the work you've planned for it to do. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. During this summer of 2017, we are looking at chapter 17s throughout the Bible. I've only done one message prior to this one. That was from 1 Kings 17, finding care there a couple of Sunday mornings ago. Now, we're in a familiar passage about 10 leprous men who were healed by Jesus Christ. Let me say, this is not a parable. This is an actual event that took place in the life of Christ during his ministry on earth. And the main lesson I want to draw our attention to today is about the thankfulness of that one leper. That one leper. Possessing and maintaining a thankful heart is a must in living for the Lord, folks. Now, there are numerous passages that call God's people to this matter of being thankful. And the truth is that thankfulness is the product of two fillings. To save a little time this morning, I was going to have you turn, but I'm going to give you these verses. You probably are familiar with them. That first filling is what's known as the filling of the Holy Spirit, because in Ephesians 5:18, we're told to be filled with the Spirit. And then we're told the result of being filled with the Spirit, one of the results, is that we will give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I can't do that. I can't give thanks for all, always, for all things. You don't do that. God the Spirit does that. As He fills us, He gives us the ability to be thankful for things that sometimes are not pleasant, okay? But that's being filled with the Spirit. And then in the second filling is being filled with the Word of Christ, because Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, fully, all right? And here's verse 17, a result of that. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So, thankfulness is not something that we would necessarily have to work up. It is the result of being filled with God. Filled with God's Spirit and filled with God's Word. You say, I can't be that. Yes, you can. If you're a born-again child of God, you can be filled with the Spirit and you can be filled with His Word. And one of the byproducts of that is a thankful heart. But alas, our flesh, our oldest and our closest enemy gets in the way and hinders the work of the Spirit and hinders the work of the Word in our lives. Now, folks, think about that. Imagine that for just a minute. Don't underestimate the power of your flesh. Now think about that. Let me read you a verse, Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So the flesh stands contrary to the spirit. What's the flesh? The flesh is that old, sinful, Adamic nature that you and I received at birth. It's not so much this physical flesh as it is our fleshly nature. Our fleshly nature stands contrary to the Spirit of God. What does contrary mean? It means opposite. It means adverse. It means moving against or in an opposite direction. So watch it. The Spirit of God creates an attitude of thankfulness in me. The Spirit of God creates an attitude of thankfulness in you, but then the flesh stands against it. The flesh is contrary to what the Spirit is attempting to do in our lives. My flesh wars against that. My flesh hinders that. My flesh fights against, goes opposite an attitude of thankfulness. Well, folks, that's not hard to figure out. What's the opposite of thankfulness? Unthankfulness. And so you got the Spirit of God in you that's trying to create this attitude and spirit of thankfulness, but your closest, my closest, your oldest, my oldest enemy that's with us everywhere we go, our flesh is fighting against that. What a powerful force our flesh is. Powerful enough, this is mind-boggling, powerful enough to hinder the working, the expectation, the desires of the Holy Spirit. You say, explain that. I can't. But I know that the Bible talks in the Old Testament about the work of God being hindered by people. I know that Jesus could not do many mighty works in Nazareth because of their unbelief. I can't wrap my mind all around it. How an omnipotent, all-powerful God can be hindered. But let me say this, folks. This is the day and age of grace, and God does not impose His will on people, saved or lost. You know, God's not going to twist your arm to be thankful. God's not going to twist my arm to be thankful. God's not going to twist your arm to get saved. If you're lost, God's not going to do that. Oh, there's coming a day when He will impose His will on earth. And we even pray that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But right now, God in His mercy, God in His perfect plan and His sovereignty and His providence, the flesh, the old human flesh, the old human Adamic nature is pretty powerful. As the Spirit tries to attempt to create this attitude of thankfulness, this flesh stands contrary to that. And that's what goes on in my life and your life. Now, in our text here, one out of ten returned to give Jesus the glory, to thank Him, to worship Him. One out of ten. I want to allow, I don't know about you, I want to allow the Spirit of God to create a thankful heart in me. I really do. And would you let me please, and I plan to do this, so this is not off the cuff. I want to just speak personally to our church just for a moment. The last 26 days for me have been a blur. And to be truthful, I haven't put a whole lot of energy, effort, and even a whole lot of time into my responsibilities as pastor of Faith Baptist Church. And I just want to say this. I thank you for your patience. And I want to thank you for your understanding. And I want to thank you for your care and for your support. You said you told us that once. I don't care. I need to tell you again. You have your own cares. You have your own heartaches. You have your own burdens. And the role and responsibility of a pastor is to enter into those things with you. And I have, to a degree, for the ones that I've known about, other things go on that I don't hear about. I'm supposed to help you bear your burden, but you have instead helped me bear mine. And I am grateful for that. I'm thankful for it. You know, not one person has come up to me with an attitude of frustration or ugliness and said, you know, why weren't you? I would have given anything to have been here last week on Father's Day instead of having to do what we did. That was ironic that it felt on that weekend. Okay? I appreciate. I want to say thank you for the anniversary gift. That was a surprise and very much appreciate it. That was a very kind thing that you did. I want to thank you for the acceptance of the several guest speakers who have come through in my absence. My grandson came in on Wednesday night and said to me in the hallway as he came in, "Pawpaw, are you preaching tonight?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "None of your friends are preaching tonight." And so that's how it's been. I said, "No, are you disappointed or are you happy?" But anyway, he didn't respond. But anyway, I want to say thank you for that. And I would like to speak for my mother this morning, because she asked me if I would say a thank you from her heart to you for allowing me the time and even the financial help, which we didn't need a lot of, we did a little bit, to come to her side. After 61 years of marriage, these last 5 to 6 weeks, 7 weeks, have not been very easy for her. Some of you have gone through this. You know, I'm not talking about things some of you don't already know. But she has been very grateful to have me there, okay? I don't bring a lot to the table, but I do bring an appetite to the table, but I mean, I can be there, and so she wanted me to say thank you. I need to say that. I want to say that because I don't want to be unthankful. You don't owe that to me. You've been kind. You've been very kind, and I appreciate it very, very much. And I've tried not to abuse that, and I'm here this week. I'm trying to get back into the schedule for the rest of the summer. She is putting the house up for sale. I can't pastor Faith Baptist Church and take care of the folks in Florida. So they're coming here. And that'll be done as soon as we can make it happen. And so, but I just appreciate it. I want to say that this morning before I get into this brief message. Now, I want you to look at a couple of thoughts on this matter of thankfulness. I want to draw your attention to one specific area of thankfulness for me and you to go home with this morning. I want you to notice a couple of things about this story. First of all, I want you to notice about these 10 lepers. They were afar off. They were afar off. Look at verse number 12 in your book and look at what it says. "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." Now I want you to see that Jesus was entering a village. And as he did, these 10 lepers were standing, the Bible says, afar off. Now folks, there's a reason for that. The law required that those with leprosy were to be sequestered. They were to be separated apart from the general population. It was like a quarantine without any help, a quarantine away from home. They were not allowed to be quarantined inside their homes. They were quarantined outside of the city, outside of the village. So as Jesus approaches the village, they're quarantined and sequestered over here afar off. I visited a leper colony in the Philippines several years ago, and it was a men's colony, and these poor men, most of them without fingers, they were in short pants, most of them without some of their toes, their noses eaten away, their ears eaten off of their head. It's a gruesome thing. If you've never seen anybody with leprosy, and we went there with Brother Rick Martin, whom we support in the Philippines, and toured the leper colony, and it's a gruesome sight, and those men were separated, sequestered from the rest of the general population there in the Philippines outside of Iloilo. Now, most of these men probably would have had some family members, but they couldn't be with them. And when they needed to eat, the family members would bring the food out to them, but they couldn't give it to them. They had to set it down in a certain place and then leave. And these lepers had to carry a cloth over their face by law. And they had to carry the cloth like this and cry out, "Unclean, unclean," to let everybody know they couldn't be around because it was a horribly contagious disease. And here they were with this contagious, horrible disease. And as a result of that, they stood afar off. And friend, I know many of you already know this. Maybe to some of you this will be new. But you need to realize this morning that before we were saved, we were afar off from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. Always. And just like leprosy sequestered and secluded these men apart from society and apart from family, our sin secluded and sequestered and separated us apart from God. Let me read you a scripture out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, talking to me and you, Gentile people. The Bible says this, that at that time, the time when we were lost, the time when you and I were unsaved. Ye were without Christ, being aliens. Aliens. You thought these people coming in our borders were aliens. You were an alien. I was an alien. Not from the United States of America, but from God. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. Listen to these words now. This is describing you and me. Having no hope and without God in the world. You know who I feel sorry for? Folks, I don't know. Look, you can say, "Wow, that's just emotionalism, all that stuff." You know, the choir sings and it's a pretty song. I've had, how many times have we sung that song? God came in this room this morning. I'm sorry if you don't get that. That's not emotionalism. And with our problems and with our burdens and with our cares, we can get on our knees and speak to a living, hearing, caring, loving God. You know who I feel sorry for? The lost. Who does the lost man pray to? Who does a Muslim pray to? A dead God. We're blessed. But there was a time when you and I were afar off and having no hope and without God in the world. You know what you call that, brother? You call that afar off. I think about the songwriter who wrote the song, He Came to Me. And the first verse says, "The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord, it was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to His domain, it seemed so far." You know why it seemed that far? Because that's how far it was. "I cried, 'Dear Lord, I cannot come to where You are. I'm afar off.'" We were afar off. Now, for some of you, for me, that's been 42 years this fall. So I got to go back 42 plus years. And some of you have to go back further than that. Some of you have to go back 50 years. Some of you have to go back 55 years to before the time that you got saved. But friend, you need to do that once in a while and remember just how far off you were. So, well, I was only 6 years of age. Doesn't matter. There's no 6 year afar off and 60 year afar off. None of that. So they were afar off, afar off. Let me say number two this morning about these 10 lepers. Listen carefully now. I want you to get this. They were close enough to the Word. Even though they were far off, they were close enough to the Word. Look at verse 14. "And when He," that's Jesus, "saw them," He, Jesus, "said," so that means words, "unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.'" Woo! Do you know what that meant to these lepers? To a leper, you know what those words meant, folks? To a leper, those words meant hope. Because for a leper to be pronounced clean and admitted back to normal life, normal society, they had to be pronounced clean by the priests. And every morning they wake up and the leprosy is worse. They can't go see the priest. But once in a while, if the leprosy got better, and this is all in the Old Testament, and began to scab over, and eventually the scab falls off, they could go to the priest, and the priest did some things on them, some tests, and the day might come where the priest said, "You're clean." And when he said, "You're clean," they could go back into society and be with their families again. So here are these 10 lepers, and they're afar off. But even though they're far off, they're close enough to hear Jesus say, "Go show thyself to the priest." So you read the rest of the passage. We won't reread it. They took off, running to the high priest. And sure enough, as they went, Christ healed them. You say, what does that mean? Christ healed them. They got well. You say, how? Christ healed them. He spoke in a word. Whatever He did, I don't know. Christ healed them. Their leprosy was gone. Oh, they weren't halfway healed, brother. It was gone, done. No scabs, no issues in the skin. They were healed. Jesus healed all those men. Now, listen carefully. When we, before we got saved, We were afar off. Afar off. But thankfully, we weren't so afar off that the word of faith wasn't close enough to us to save us. Even though we were afar off, the word of faith was still close enough to us so that we could be saved. Just like the word of Christ was here. I want you to turn here now. Come, we're going to go back here to Luke 17. Look at Romans chapter 10. Look at Romans chapter 10 in your Bible this morning, because I want you to read this, okay? And I want God to help those of you who sometimes struggle with this matter of salvation. I want to help you again this morning. I want you to see this in the Scripture. Look at what Paul wrote to the Roman church in Romans chapter 10. Look with me again in verse number 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. This is what the righteousness, this is true about the righteousness which is of faith. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now watch, listen here. Here we are. Brother Bragg, you stand over there, please, and I'll be over here. I'm the leper. I'm the sinner. I'm apart from God. I am far off, way afar off. But friend, the word of faith which brings salvation is very close to me. Even though I'm afar off, I can't go to him, but praise God, he comes to us. He comes to us. And salvation is not a vast distance from us. We are a vast distance from God. But salvation, the opportunity to be saved, is not a vast difference, a vast distance from us. It is near us. What is he saying? He's saying salvation is plain. It's nigh thee. It's close by. How close is it? It's as close as your mouth and your heart. That's how close it is. It's if you believe in your heart and you receive with your mouth, you don't have to ascend up to heaven and bring Christ down to the earth to save you. You don't have to go to the deep and bring Christ up from the depths to save you. He's already come from above. He's already been to the depths. He came out of the depths. It's settled. It's done. The great transaction is all finished. It's nigh you. That means if you're here this morning and you're not saved, salvation is this close to you. It's this close to you. It's this close to your heart. It's as close as your heart is to you, as close as your mouth is to you, because the Scripture says in verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart, notice that thing, heart, mouth, mouth, heart. Look at verse 10, for with the heart man believeth. How close is salvation to those of us who were afar off? Well, we hear the good word. God comes to us with the word of faith. Hey, you can be saved. And with our heart, we believe it. We believe that we're sinners, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died, buried, and rose again for us. And we say with our mouth, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. I believe Jesus died for me. And brother, when that happens, verse number 13 kicks in, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen, amen. Those lepers were afar off. But even though they were afar off, they were close enough to the word of faith. Close enough to hear the word of the Lord Jesus. And I'm simply saying to you, friend, I'm speaking this morning primarily to those of us who are already saved. Go back in your mind, friend, and remember just how far off from God you were. Even as a 5-year-old girl or boy, you were far off from God to his domain. You could not go. But the word of faith came nigh you. And with your heart and your mouth, you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, aren't you thankful this morning? I love the chorus of the song that I sang just a moment ago. From where I was to his domain, it seems so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. But the song doesn't end there. He came to me. He came to me. Look, we've all done it. We've all done it ignorantly and innocently. But people say, well, I'm just thankful for the day I found Jesus. You didn't find Jesus. Jesus found you. He came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. That's why he died. Hey, listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. Jesus did not go through all he went through on that cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, to make salvation hard. It has to be sincere. But it's not hard. The hard part's done. That was done with Christ. Now, somebody just says, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, save me, Jesus. I believe the moon, the stars. Yeah, I want to go to heaven. Jesus said, no. Believe in your heart. That's sincerity. That's sincerity. That's meaning it. Oh, I'm a sinner. I'm apart from God. I don't want to go to hell, burn forever for my sin. And the Bible says, the word of faith says that Jesus died for me, that he was buried and rose again for my salvation. God, I believe that. I want that. Please save me. It's that easy. It's that easy. Remember when Christ came to you and the word of faith rose up in your heart and you said, I believe. And with your mouth, you said, I receive. And the result is the promise of salvation. They were afar off. They were close enough to hear the word. Number three, last point. And one returned to express his thankfulness. And one. Verse 15. Back in Luke chapter 17, I got to get there. Back in verse 15, chapter 17, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now look, I'm sorry. I should probably know better, but I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to speculate as to the other nine. Were they cleansed from their leprosy? Yes. Were they saved by faith? I don't know. I know the one was. Because look at verse 19. Jesus said to that one leper, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Here's what I will say. I believe somebody who is saved will be thankful. They'll be thankful. You say, well, I knew somebody that said they were saved and they were never very thankful for it. I'm not their judge. I don't know. But brother, shame on us if we enjoy the good saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and spend the rest of our days unthankful. Shame on us. That's my thought this morning, really. That's the essence of this message. Don't get so busy. Don't get so tied up in this world's events, which is very easy to do, that you forget how far off you were and how close he came so that you could get saved. Hallelujah. And every day, these words ought to come out of our lips in some form or fashion. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Sing it with me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. And you know, if you made a habit of expressing that every day to him, you might find that you have less doubt and less worry We say, well, people ought not to have any doubts, ought not to have any worries. Not everybody is made like you. Thankfully. Some people are given to more emotional upset. But I would just think every day, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. I remember how far off I was. But thank you, I wasn't so far off that you couldn't come by and speak the word of faith, and I responded to trust you. That's a chapter 17. It's pretty good, isn't it? Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, would you help us this morning? I believe you have. And you're so good to us. And I rejoice. Rejoice in you. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for saving us. May we find it in our lives every day, that time to say thank you, Jesus, for saving our soul. Encourage our hearts today from this Bible passage in Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Wonder here this morning would say, Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart in a very special way today throughout somewhere. It may have been in the song service. It may have been here or there, but or through the message. But I just have been helped this morning. I needed it. Pray for me. Would you slip a hand up wherever you are today? God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. How many would say, Pastor, in the specific area of being thankful for my salvation, I've kind of fallen off the edge there, and I need to get back to that kind of spirit and attitude. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Yes, yes. Okay, God bless you. Amen. Now, is there anybody here this morning would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I think I may be still afar off from God. Pray for me because I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you slip your hand in the air? Just slip it up. Let me pray for you. That's all you got to do is slip it up. Just ask the Lord to touch you and speak to you. Anybody like that here today? If you're here today, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We'll have one of those in just a moment. If you're not baptized, you ought to obey the Lord and follow him in believer's baptism. I would encourage you to come and present yourself for baptism or just visit the altar. Let the Lord know that you recognize his voice this morning. He spoke to you and that you in turn want to say these things back to him. Father, we love you. Thank you for helping us today. God, may it not just be a church service on a Sunday morning where we become thankful. May this be a routine, a way of life for us, day after day, thankful for our salvation, thankful that you came to us when we were afar off, in Jesus' name. Ladies, I hope you have. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I already got it. Let's stand together as they're playing the song of invitation, and you obey the Lord this morning.